thank you for tuning into the Naked Podcast. I'm your host, Emma Hislop, and today I'm interviewing someone who I met through the health and wellness community online, and we instantly just hit it off. Her name is Sarah Major, and she is an amazing recipe developer, and I'm so incredibly inspired by the way she approaches life with her slow living practices. I can't wait to get into this episode, and I hope you enjoy. So first off, I want to thank Sarah for joining me. She's from Northern California, a place that I have always wanted to visit. I've been across Southern California, but I'm going to let her take it over from here, and she's going to give you some background about herself and what she's doing today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited. So I am originally from Southern California. I just have a strong passion for just women to just feel confident who they are as they are. I really appreciate and value wholesome living, and I feel like that doesn't just stop at food. I feel it goes beyond that, like physically, emotionally, mentally, like how are you doing? I really value that so much, and I've really like grown up, I take you back into childhood a little bit, but I really, just if I have a yes, I'm going to make that a reality somehow. And growing up, I just remember telling my mom, I was like 19 years old. I was like, I'm going to Brazil. And she's like, okay, I'm not supporting you. And I'm like, not that she didn't want to support me because they're very supportive people, but she didn't want her 19-year-old kid going all the way to Brazil for 2 weeks by herself. But my mind was so set on it. I was like, I'm going to make this happen. So I did like side jobs. I think I raised up to like $4,000 in like 4 months. And I ended up going to Brazil. Same thing happened with like school. I remember I was 20 years old. I was like, I'm going to school in Northern California. And I'm like the youngest and 11 hours away, didn't know anybody, didn't have a job aligned, but I knew I wanted to go. And I just made that happen. And I just really believe that like, you just don't know what your yes is going to end up being. So I've really grown up with like around like a variety of friends, like people who just like went after their dreams. I've seen people from going, living, like trying to pursue their dreams daily, and then who like won the Grammys. And like, you cannot tell me that dreams don't happen. And I've always had that mindset and that perspective. And I wanted to, like, I knew I always wanted to make a difference and do something, but I never knew what that was. And I put my hands into like a lot of different things, like photography. I was like a librarian. I did dance, choir. I mean, you name it. And when I moved out to Northern California, I really started to be introduced to healthy, wholesome living. And I just absolutely loved it. So when I got married, I have been married for 5.5 years, and I'm a mom to a 4-year-old. And when I got married, we were pregnant within 3 months, and I knew I wanted to do something, so I started a blog. And here I am today. I'm a full-time mom, and I'm pursuing my business on the side.
We met through Instagram. So this is kind of how Sarah and I have connected.
Yeah.
And it's all through the health and wellness community. It's kind of insane. I'm like, I don't even know what I would do if I didn't know you and like a ton of other people. It's like we talk on a very regular basis. There's practically not a week that goes by that we don't text or something. But
yeah, seriously, I love it.
I feel like everyone kind of goes through a downturn with their health, or they struggle with their health until they kind of find this wellness and health community. And I think you growing up in California in general, it's so supportive of this overall mm-hmm. like wellness world. And do you think that that had something to do with your peak in wellness, and what kind of brought you into the wellness and health community when you started blogging?
I would say, even though I live in like Southern California, I feel like it was so like, you have to look a certain way kind of focused. And it was like working out, like that was like, when I was living in SoCal, that's all I knew was like working out is healthy. And when I moved down to Northern California, I actually felt like that's where I found my love for food and being introduced to like supplements and how like the basics of sleep and water just really made, you know, can make a difference. When I moved down to Northern California, I've really had sensitive skin. And I just remember my eyes would get puffy. My like, you see red around my eyes, they're all itchy. It was very like embarrassing for me, irritating. Like I would stay home from events because of it, or not have like socialize with a lot of friends because, you know, like it felt like I was sick because I had such a sensitive skin to allergies or reactions to skincare products or something. So I wanted to, I just knew something, I needed to make a change, and I knew that something needed to happen. And I remember in 2010, I was at my school and someone was talking to me. There's like three different events I had, where people were telling me about a juice cleanse they were doing. And there were like three people the same day that didn't know each other in different locations told me about the same juice cleanse documentary. And I just felt like led to do it. So for 30 days, I pursued juicing. Didn't have any food, just juice, green juice and water. And it completely healed my skin. And I was like so shocked. I was like, I mean, it cleared my skin. I lost weight. It wasn't that was not my goal, but just sharing some of the results, I never had those allergies again. And it was like mind blowing to me. And that's like when it really opened my eyes. Food is healing. Food is so beneficial to the skin, to the body. And that's where I started to like really pursue food and wholesome living.
I love that. And I think that, would you say that when you were kind of in SoCal, like how many years ago were you living in SoCal again?
That was 10 years ago.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Like the wellness scene in SoCal has changed so much, because now there's like these Erewhons and
oh, yeah,
like all these amazing healthy juice bars and just overall wellness. But I think back then, like you were saying, it was more like working out was the main focus in SoCal. Yeah. And do you feel like Northern California, even now, do you feel like it's more about like whole body wellness, like getting outside, going for hikes, and
mm-hmm.
treating your mind right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that's really interesting. I haven't been to Northern California, but I know that I 100% want to visit one day, and I might be able to visit you.
Yes. You have a place to stay.
But what does the community that you built online mean to you? And I know for myself, it's like the community is the main thing, and
mm-hmm.
my ability to connect with people like yourself, that's larger than life itself, I think.
Yeah. I think it's everything. I feel like you can't do it alone. No matter what you're doing, you might be good at it, but you just can't do it alone. I feel like success is having people surrounding you, speaking into your life, speaking into your product, speaking to your brand. That is so vital. You might feel weak one day. You might feel like you want to give up. You might you need people cheering you on when you have something good. I just feel like you need all that, you know, whether that's one or two people, depending on what you need. But the community is huge. I feel you need a voice for sure. You need that support system back and forth, not just someone supporting you, but definitely back and forth.
Mm-hmm. And I think that
having that community is so key, because as much as we love what we do and as much as we love uploading photos and making recipes and doing all of that, it can become very overwhelming, and it's nice to have someone to bounce ideas off of, or because sometimes you can feel so alone. And I don't know if I'm the only one who feels like this.
Oh no.
You know, you're talking to your friends and your family and you're like, oh, you know, maybe I'll upload this thing or maybe I'll make this recipe. And they're like, wait, what? Like, I don't understand it. And you're like, what I do. And, it's nice to have, you know, friends to bounce ideas off of or ask about anything regarding brands. And it's almost just like they're your colleagues in a strange kind of way. But without meeting these people, I don't know where I would be, or I know I wouldn't be where I am. But something I kind of want to dive back into, and I think you kind of touched on it, we're talking about health and wellness and what does it mean to be healthy to you? Because everyone's definition is so completely different. I know that when I started like in the health wellness world, same thing. It was like working out was what healthy was, and eating these like kind of plastic protein bars that I would like cut up in the morning and say, this is my breakfast, but like really that's not a breakfast at the end of the day. So I want to know what your definition is. And I feel like we're both very aligned with what it means to be healthy.
Yeah, healthy is all together. I feel like just real food, not having to worry about a diet. It's just like feeling, it's more than just not looking good, but also like feeling good. Like, how are you mentally? How are you physically? How are you emotionally? You know, I feel like all of it's unconnected. And I feel like if you have one off and you're just pouring into just one thing, I feel it's really imbalanced. That's my motto, is just like real food, keep it simple, keep it minimal. Less is more when it comes to eating or just the way you do life. I feel like when you do things less or have it less, I feel like you get more out of it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that like healthy eating and healthy living comes along with, as you get older, you kind of start to change your definition as you change yourself. Like myself, I went from like synthetic ingredients and like low calorie, low sugar to like real whole foods that actually make me energized and make me vibrant. And I think the one thing is like, I know that you're a mom and there's a lot of people who message me and they're like, what can I feed my kid? And I'm like, I genuinely don't really know. Like, I don't have kids, but, I mean,
but here's Sarah. Here's, no, like,
I'm like, here's Sarah. Here's like another great person. I hope they have some tips for you, but what is like your main tip or some tips that you would offer for parents that are like, my kid eats nothing. Like, I know people and their kids are like, they just want to eat peanut butter and bread or like grilled cheese sandwiches. But yes,
real life. Yes. For me, we just like, for us, we always kept it ready for Haven. We gave her ready of foods on the plate so she can choose what she likes or what she didn't like. And when we went to grocery shopping, we asked her a few things that she'd want. We have even a cabinet just for her. So her snack drawer, that's hers. So she knows that she can go in there and have a snack. We let her cook or bake in the kitchen with us. And I feel like that is very important. She always asks me like, Mom, can I like make brownies? And sometimes you're like, I just want to do this quickly, but it's just like really, like, hey, no, this is actually important and I want to make time for her to be in the kitchen with me. So I feel like that even has helped because she's learning the ingredients. She's learning what foods are, and it's just actually really fun. So that I would say, just giving your kids a variety and like allowing them to choose. I feel like oftentimes they're a person too, and they want to have an opportunity to choose as well. So just giving that option for them.
I think it comes down to, like you said, giving them that variety and giving them choice, because it's like, you're not going to make your kid want to eat vegetables if you're like
you're eating this full plate of Brussels sprouts, you're going nowhere.
Yes. Like, you
know, makes it like a traumatic experience, I guess.
Yes.
But I actually want to know, like, what is her favorite snack?
Oh my gosh. Oh, she does like protein bars. I'm going to say that, but she loves, I know. She loves it. But she loves sauerkraut. That's just one of her favorite things, but she loves sauerkraut. Peanut butter,
my favorite,
blueberries. Like, I would say they're probably her like go-tos. Yeah,
that's so funny.
I know, she eats it by the handful. So when she like gets sick, like I'm like, okay, here, eat some more, because probiotics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, you're easy.
That's so good that you got her started on like fermented foods when she was young, though, because they say, well, they're amazing for you, because a lot of people say that the brain is the second stomach and everything's connected. So if you can start your kid out on fermented foods, great. There's some other fermented foods other than sauerkraut, and I'm trying to think of them right now, like kefir,
probiotics,
yeah,
kefir, yogurts,
yeah, just anything really fermented is great for them. But something else that you're also interested in, and something that you even can kind of see in your photos and in your feed on Instagram, is your minimalist lifestyle and your just simple living that I think people don't see enough of in general society. It's like we have this big desire to buy more, have more, maximize our goods that we have in our homes that we don't really need. But what kind of drove you to take on this life of living with less? And I think that there's a lot to say about this kind of lifestyle.
I just really like been on my journey for like living a healthy lifestyle. I realized having more and like just buying things on demand and buying things so quickly was not healthy for me. I felt like it messed with me mentally. I feel like if you go in a room, it's actually in psychology, like it's all messy. Your mind, you have less motivation to work. You have less motivation. I feel like even just making a bed, something so easy, so makes you so happy, you know? So I just knew that clutter wasn't something that I noticed. That wasn't something that I wanted to live, how I wanted to live. And so I got rid of things that I didn't love. I got rid of things that I didn't use. I would say I would use next year or the following year, and it would just be years passed by and I still have it there and I would still see it, but I'm not loving it. So I make it a habit every 6 months. I go through things and I make sure I toss things out that I like donate it, or I do donate it. I don't sell it, but that's another option. You can sell it. But I just go through things that I don't love. And so now when I do purchase items, I love this. I don't want to just like it. I want to love it. And that's my motto. If I don't love it, I will not buy it.
And I think that's something that's really key, because I know myself, like back a few years ago, I would go out and buy a ton of things, maybe like three of them. And then 6 months later, I end up donating it. And I'm like, what?
Oh, yeah.
But I also want to add something. So,
yeah,
listeners, that I know you're talking about you have a lot of things, and I try to donate a lot of clothes as well. But some apps that I believe are great for selling or even buying clothes that's already here on the planet would be Depop and ThredUp. I don't know if you've heard of those.
Yes, I have heard of them before. I've actually never shopped on them before, but I definitely heard of them.
Yeah, they're a great way to get rid of any clothes that you're like, I no longer need this. I no longer, like, that's literally what I did the last few weeks. I'm like, okay, I haven't worn this in 3 months. This is going into my donation box. This is going into my Depop box. And it's so freeing when you just get rid of all of this stuff. Like, I'm the type of person now, though, that I'm like, I want everything gone. You know what I mean? Like,
Oh my gosh, yes.
I'm like, I want one nightstand and that's it. Like, I don't need anything else. All this other stuff is stressing me out. And I think that, did you notice a big difference that, like, when you had a lot more stuff versus what you have now? Not that, like, you know, you have less stuff, but you're still the same person. I don't know. Like, do you feel as if you're less stressed in your environment now?
Oh yes, absolutely. I feel less cluttered. I feel like it's like, I'm not spending as much time cleaning. I know that sounds kind of funny, but it's, you know, there's other things that, you know, like spending time with your family, who spending time with your husband who works full time. And the last thing you want to do is clean when he gets home. I definitely feel like you value and appreciate everything that you do have. Yeah, most definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's more appreciation on like what you have in the moment rather than like, you know, striving to always have more, which I think that just creates an overall contentment that, you know, we're all kind of striving to have. We're always in this race to have more.
Oh yeah. I literally went to Target yesterday and I bought something and I was like, what am I doing? Like, I actually went today to return it because I want to be more mindful, like what I purchased. Cause you know, it adds up for one. And number two, it's like, you want to appreciate what you buy and just be more mindful and intentional with what you're saying yes to financially.
Mm-hmm. I 100% agree with that. Like, I know myself, I'm like, I'm saving up for a trip right now. Do I really want to put my money towards an item or do I want to put it towards an experience?
Oh yeah.
And it always comes back to experiences for me.
That's for me too. I love experience more than having a product, 100%.
And something I kind of want to touch on as well is like with this like minimal or living and eating whole foods, I guess you could kind of say that you are following the term of slow living. And this is kind of on the rise in social media world, which is kind of funny that it's in social media world because social media world is like so fast paced. It's like, slow down.
Oh yeah.
I'm just scrolling and there's like a million things for me to see. kind of what practices do you do in your daily life that extend beyond the healthy living and the minimal approach that you think have helped you slow down and be a little bit more at peace with your day?
Yeah, I actually never knew self-care was even a thing. Like, I did not even hear that word tossed around. And it was like, when I moved down to Northern California, I realized people actually talk to each other. People were on their phones. And because I lived in Southern California, which is so fast-paced, it's like you're moving to one thing to the next. You look at your calendar and it's completely full. And having a full calendar doesn't mean it's always fulfilling. So when I moved down to Redding into a small little town, I'm surrounded by nature. Like literally, I'm looking outside my apartment right now and just see the water, river. And it just reminds you to like, wow, there's beauty around you and you don't want to miss it. So honestly, it wasn't something I was accustomed to. It was actually very uncomfortable to train myself because it was like, I'm slowing down and I'm not used to this, you know? So once I started to like hear the word self-care and once I started to notice that people in my community here were just, like doing things that were communicating with one another, like taking time for each other, you know, being mindful of how you shop. I was just like, I want to participate in this. And I really appreciate that because I always felt like I get run down, you know, and after getting married and being a mom, working, it's like, you can only do so much, but you need that space for yourself. And I really learned, especially when I was becoming a mom and trying to balance it all, I really noticed I need to slow down. So for me, that's you know, taking a bath or listening to our podcast. Hi. Or no. But, or like going for a walk, going out to hike with a friend, going to go see a movie, turn off your phone, you know, for 24 hours. Go make a recipe from scratch. Go make a home decoration at home, you know, like go to a plant store and pick up a plant. Those little things are like all makes your heart and your soul happy. And I think that we miss that a lot in this society.
Mm-hmm. I think it's all like a focus on how much we can get done in our day, mm-hmm. rather than like taking the time an hour or two each and every day to like do something that fills us up. Because I'm truly one who believes that when I'm not satisfied and when I'm not taking care of myself, I can't put my best foot forward for other people. And that right. kind of comes through. I think this is the worst thing, but when I'm really like strung out or worn out and I feel like everyone wants something from me or I have a million messages to get back to, because it's like I do social media on several accounts and it becomes a lot sometimes. So
yeah,
I think sometimes when we don't take that time, I know for myself, I just kind of end up being like, sounds bad, but I can be a bit short. Like I'm just like, okay, I'll do it. Like, but instead of just being, okay, I can get this done, because I just feel like I'm so stretched thin, I guess you could say.
Right.
But
yeah,
I think
I feel like, slow living is also knowing how to say yes and knowing how to say no, because like we can fill our schedules, but then we can still end up being unhappy. Like having things to do is not fulfillment. It's knowing that you're supposed to be there doing those things, you know, like to me, it's like saying yes to something is, yeah, I fully 100% want to be here. I fully 100% want to do this thing, and I'm going to put all of my effort to it. Because if I'm half there, I don't want to be there.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm the same way. I'm like, if I'm not 100% and I don't want to be there, I just can't show up for other people. Like,
yes.
And I think that's something I'm working on. I actually wrote a post about that the other day. I was like, I feel like I'm stretched so thin. Like I'm trying to do so many things. Like I'm the type of person that I want to make like everyone happy. And I find it so hard to say no. And that's something that just society has conditioned us to feel poorly when we say no to people.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. You just get left like second guessing yourself. But I think that's something that I would love to get better at in 2020. And like, maybe you can help me with this. I'm like, I just need someone to be like, yes, say no. Yeah, I think that also the evolution of kind of like self-care is like a lot of people think that sometimes self-care is expensive and that it means going to get expensive facials and it means going to get expensive products or whatever the kind of industry is selling us. But I really like the part where you say it's just about like switching your phone off, getting us having a conversation with someone. It's just a more mindful way of living rather than your phone in your hand all the time.
I'm so about doing things for free. Mm-hmm. You know, like just going to be paying or actually debt free next month. So we have been very mindful on how we've been buying things. So I don't feel like you have to go buy something just to feel good, you know, do something that makes you learn. Like as I did when I was younger, I put my hands in many different things. If you want to go do a dance class, go do a dance class or go to the gym or whatever that looks like for you, but do what makes you feel your best self, 100%.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that people are slowly learning, that like buying something, and this is something I used to do, I would say like 5 years ago, I would just buy something and then I would get this instantaneous hit, I would say. Mm-hmm. It kind of sounds weird because it sounds like, you know, I'm like doing something wrong, but I would get this instantaneous hit and like almost high from it.
Mm-hmm.
And you get that excitement and you get those like almost endorphins, I would say. And then it lasts for like
3 hours maybe, and then, or a day or two until that package right. arrives on your step and you put on that new shirt or whatever you bought. Mm-hmm. And then again, you're like, okay, what's the next thing?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we all have to become more mindful of and not falling into these kind of consumerism traps and just enjoying life and what it has to offer that doesn't cost anything. Like this weekend, I was feeling really stressed out and not myself. So I was like, I'm just going to drive to the ocean, take some pictures, and that's 100% free.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's like what you said, though. I feel like slow living is very connected to experiences. That's what I, you know, whether that is buying something or whether that's not, mm-hmm. it's experiences. So whatever that looks like for you. And it doesn't have to look like somebody else's. You know, I might give you a suggestion, but you may not want to do that. So it's really finding what makes you happy, mm-hmm. and stepping outside and appreciating who you have around you, what you have around you. And really, that's simple as that.
Mm-hmm. And I really love your definition, because like I said before, the lines can kind of get blurred between self-care is expensive when it's really just looking after your mind and your body, mm-hmm. and listening to what you want at the end of the day. But something I kind of want to do, and I know you're more than a recipe developer, as are many people, because like we said before we even started this episode, we're all more than one thing. But something I kind of want to leave off on is, what are some of your favorite recipes that, I mean, you can choose as many as you want, because sometimes one is like really hard for people,
but yeah.
I want to know what are a few of your favorite recipes, and then I want to link them in the show notes for all the listeners.
Okay, so you're going to see a little trend here, but I love sweet potatoes. My sweet potato curry soup is probably my top number one favorite soup. And then I would say there becomes the sweet potatoes. The sweet potato cookies I made, it's amazing, seriously. You want crispy on the outside and soft on the inside? I gotcha. So yeah, the sweet potato curry, the sweet potato cookies. I liked my baked donuts. Man, I'm blanking out here. I'm trying to think about...
I know, because when you're thinking of so many, you're like, okay, what's my favorite thing? Like, what did I eat last week?
That's right? I'm like, I eat too much stuff. Okay, Reese's, my Reese's cups. I would have to say that's a good one. My husband asked me to make that for him, like, weekly basis. Definitely make those Reese's cups. They're so good.
I need to make those, like, Valentine's Day treats.
Heck yes.
Sarah will have you covered. And I've also been dying to try those sweet potato cookies. But the weird thing is like, I can only buy canned pumpkin here. So,
oh, really?
I would have to, I'll just have to make my own sweet potato puree. But
I'll just
do that myself. But I really want to thank you for coming on the podcast. And I know you'll probably be listening to this one in your bath or doing something self-care related. And I just want to thank you for coming on. And I hope that you have a great day.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to tuning into this episode. If you guys could share it on Instagram or with your friends and family in real life, because truly nothing better than that, I would be very appreciative of that. And I'm going to leave all of my information to my amazing guests on the show notes. I'm going to be back in your ears real soon, and I hope you guys have a great week.